morning. We want to say that we're glad that you're joining us today at Faith Alliance. We know that you may be away from the church building, as we all are, but we pray that today you find yourself blessed by God's presence. We want to wish our moms and moms-to-be a happy Mother's Day. You are loved and you are valued, and we pray that you feel blessed and feel a sense of God's presence and a sense of joy on this day. Let me take a moment to pray before we get into the message. Lord, we know that you are always with us, that you love us, and that you love us with a love that is greater, deeper, and immeasurable. We ask you, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with your truths of your promises, that we'd be overflowing with joy, and that we'd be sensitive to the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that you would be honored and glorified in the way that you use us and the way that we are in relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen. I believe as human beings we have an inherent desire to have a purpose. You hear it in various aspects of small talk. For example, what do you do for a living? Or what do you like to do in your spare time? Doing something is such a part of our lives that when we were forced to do nothing, we quickly found ourselves becoming stir-crazy. Even as followers of Christ, we often have a desire to be used by God. But the truth is, being used by God requires nothing of us. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, tells us the story of Jesus changing water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. From time to time, I may hear someone proclaim that they just want to be a vessel. My literal mind, I have a tendency to think, why would you want to be a vessel? You're a human being. But I bite my tongue and I listen quietly as they talk about how they want to be used by God. Honestly, I believe that when someone says that they want to be a vessel, they are probably referring to another part of Scripture. However, we may actually want to consider being like these very vessels that were used in the story. Let's share some observations about these jars. There are three descriptors found in the text concerning the vessels. The first one is describing their location. Nearby. Henry Blackaby, in his book Experiencing God, explains that one way of being used by God is simply to look where he is working and to join him there. So the question you may ask yourself is, where is he working? That is where knowing him comes in. Spending time in his word helps us to know the sort of work he does and what his character is like. This will equip us to discern where he is working. Secondly, take the time in prayer to listen to him. Also, that will help us to know how to join him where he is working. He has gifted each member of his body with different gifts and abilities. The ultimate goal in both activities is to know him. The next observation about the jars is their initial purpose. They were used for ceremonial washing. I think it's curious that Jesus did not just fill an empty wine container. Perhaps the vessels that were once clean might not be still be considered clean. This reminds us that Jesus can take something, or in our case, someone that might be considered unclean and use that item or that person for his glory. My third observation about the vessels is that they were empty. It is easy to gloss over those words as if they are meaningless. But if we think about them for a moment, we might realize that we have a lot to learn from those jars. It is not that Jesus can't use a full jar, but in this particular case, it paints a picture of how he uses us. Whenever God wants to use us, he often has to empty us of our own plans and dreams and desires. One last observation about the vessels. They were whole and unbroken. Perhaps you want to be used by God, but you can't say the same thing about yourself. Through circumstances of life, you find that you are someone that feels broken. You feel as if you are not whole. This text reveals a truth that applies to you. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not come." If you read the rest of the story, you find a conversation questioning why the best wine was saved for last. So why does Jesus respond by making more wine when he too could have just responded, "People are probably so intoxicated they won't notice that we're out of wine." Side note here, scholars do indicate that Jesus' response to his mother is not one of disrespect. But we find an interesting lesson in the way he responds to his mother. The lesson, I believe, that his mother's request teaches us was that her request was not insignificant. It's not because Jesus values having wine at a wedding, but it's because Jesus values her. And the truth is that he values you as well. Psalm 130 gives us some hints about the truths we can find when we're feeling broken. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." The text uses a phrase where Jesus responds saying, "My time has not yet come." We know from reading Scripture that there is a time when Jesus says that his body is bread and his is wine. He is speaking of the sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. That was something that gave us the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord Almighty. That sacrifice that he gave on the cross. It's through that and through his death and his resurrection that we too can be made whole. This text from Psalm 130 reminds us that Jesus and God the Father are in the business of redeeming. They are in the business of taking something that is broken and making it new again. So I want to ask you one last question. Which vessel are you? Maybe you're the vessel that is full. You're the vessel that is full of your own dreams, desires, and plans. And in order to be used by Him, and in order to draw closer to Him, you need to be empty. We can come to Him through His Word and listen to His truths and find that we don't have to be filled with our own dreams and desires for our lives to be fulfilling. That walking with Him is something that would fill us in a matter that would actually overflow into other people's lives. Maybe you're the jar that's empty. Maybe you're the jar that feels like you were once clean, but you are no longer. We're reminded in that Psalm 1 in 130 that the Lord does not keep a record of sins. So if you're feeling like you were once clean and you can never be clean again, just remember that. He doesn't keep a record of your sins. Maybe you're that broken vessel. Remind yourself that He can redeem you and renew you, restore you. Or maybe you're coming to Him with your question that maybe to you seems like an insignificant one. But just remember that He loves you. He doesn't find you insignificant. And He wants to take care of every little detail of your life. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we love you. Even if you didn't meet our everyday needs of shelter, food, clothing, that you created us with purpose and intention, and you deeply love us in a way that we can't possibly measure. We know that you have a plan for our lives and that you are sovereign, that even putting us in the families you did was part of your plan. And God, we do want to be used by you, but we may need to draw close to you and just sit in your presence. And so we pray that we would be guided by your Holy Spirit, and that as we are filled and filled with that living water, that we would pour over into the lives of others so that they too may know you. Thank you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.